welcome to the Women's Golf Show. I'm Jenny Falconer, and this is the podcast dedicated to women in golf, from the very best players in the world to the amateur handicapper like me and maybe you, just playing and loving the sport. We'll be with you every other Wednesday right throughout the summer, so before you do anything else, make sure you subscribe so that you do not miss one episode. Now, this week, we are joined by Ali Whittaker for the first time in this series, and we're also going to be talking about the transition from amateur to professional golf. We love hearing your comments and thoughts too, so absolutely get in touch with the show. Use the hashtag TWGS. We want your comments and we want your photos. If you're out for a round, share your pictures. Drop us any questions as well. We would love to answer them on the show. Now, as I mentioned, my sidekick this week is someone who rarely spends more than a few days in the same time zone. In fact, every time we chat on an episode of the Women's Golf Show, she's coming to us from another location somewhere in the world, and I have no idea where it's going to be. So let's ask the question to former pro turned broadcaster Ali Whittaker. Ali, where are you?
I feel like this is like a game show where we need to start turning the globe around and dropping something. But I'm in Denmark, so it's, can you believe I've only got an hour between us, Jenny? One day there'll be no hours between us and it'll be fabulous.
We're so close. At some point, we will actually get to be together in person. I mean, I keep up with Ali all the time on Instagram. Love your new short hair, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, donated the rest of it. There was lots to donate, which is a brilliant thing. So yeah, I gave that to Wigs for Kids last week. So I'm still trying to work out what to do with it. You've got short hair. Like, I could use all of the tips that you have. I need.
I couldn't be bothered drying my hair, especially like in golf, you just stick your hair under a hat anyway, so it doesn't really matter if it's long or short. It's just easier out the way.
This is it. This is what I need to hear, because here I am trying to grapple with, you know, blow dryers and things like that. But I, you know, you wake up looking flawless, so it's a different story for some of the rest
morning.
Of us, Jenny. Yeah, every that's how
morning,
it works, right?
Wake up, look in the mirror, and I'm like, yep, flawless. Reality is very different to that.
That's what we all think, right? Yeah.
So look, what have you been up to recently? Denmark now, what's been going on?
I've just been home, actually. I've been living a very domestic life, which is actually, you know, the grass is always greener. And sometimes for us, when we get on, you know, really big runs of events, like I'm about to do a big one now, having, you know, 5-6 weeks at home to just get into a routine, because there's so little routine in golf and in broadcasting and that kind of thing. So, it's been lovely. Been cooking a lot. So that's been really nice. Just catering, really, for the family.
So when you have time off and you're not working, how much golf is in your life just because that's your passion?
Yeah, well, for me, I switch on women's golf quicker than I switch on men's golf. And, you know, I'm probably not meant to say that, because partially it's because I watch so much men's golf because I work predominantly in that. So anytime if I'm going to watch a tournament, there's an LPGA event on or an LET event on when I'm home, I have that on in the background a lot. Mondays are always great as well in Australia, because you wake up, you get to watch whatever tour you want, you know, the Sunday, the next day. And Monday's usually kind of a quiet day because everyone goes back to work. So I get to just nestle in. I get the couch doona, which is the world's best thing. I get the couch doona out of the cupboard, put that over there, and make a coffee and watch a little morning/afternoon of golf. It's brilliant.
Oh, lovely. So a little quiet time ahead of your crazy busy summer, because, well, we know that you're going to be spending quite a lot of time in Europe.
Yeah, the next little run is pretty much all in Europe. It's funny how, you know, the golf just chases the sun, really. So you start the year in men's golf in the UAE, then it goes to Asia, now Europe for really the next probably 4 months. I think it's up until about October. So I've got this little run that I've got Wentworth for the BMW PGA, which I think you've played in the Pro-Am before, haven't you, there?
Yeah, I've played the last 2 years in it. So I hope I get it. It's the most nerve-wracking thing, just playing in the pro-am. You're not even, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like when you're actually playing for money and playing for your career.
Yeah, but Jenny, you're kind of a big deal. That's why you get asked. I'm sure the invite for this year's in the mail. Hopefully I can catch up with you then. But yeah, I got Solheim Cup the week after that and Ryder Cup back-to-back this year, which might kill everyone that's involved in both because of the hours. So it's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that fortnight of golf coming up too.
Yeah, but also from a golf spectator point of view, how brilliant. There's so just good. So much of it to watch. Just going to be lapping up. I mean, it's honestly so exciting. There is just so much to keep tabs on. It's going to be a great summer.
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, I was thinking back to when we had the Tokyo Olympics amongst all of the golf and all of the majors, and that was a real kind of run. But to have those two events back to back, and hopefully and I'm kind of, you know, showing my cards and who I'm barracking for, but hopefully the European Solheim Cup team goes back to back, really, wouldn't it be three? But under the watchful eye of Suzanne Pedersen, and inspires the men the week after.
Yeah, it would be really good. I mean, it's an exciting, exciting summer ahead, I've got to say. But just reflecting back on the episode that you were unable to make last week, I just want to check if you've been listening. Did you catch up because we had Jess Baker on?
Yeah, isn't she great? She's so engaging. And now she's in the same industry as us as well with her podcast. So, she's just such a delightful young addition, I think, to top class golf, but also to the media world. So that's great. Yeah. I always love listening to you and Beth. I never miss a trick. You know that.
Oh, well, good, good, good to hear. Because do you know what? One of the things, though, is really nice about the Women's Golf Show is we do get to speak to some brilliant up-and-coming golfers as well, and some of whom have turned pro as well, which is quite nice because this episode's going to be quite special.
Joining myself and Jenny this week, not one, but two guests. We're loading the second episode of the Women's Golf Show, and both of them come from Ireland today as well. The first is someone who's just helped Wake Forest to their first NCAA title. She's also twice a Curtis Cup player. In fact, both of them are. And she's just turned pro. So I'm delighted to welcome Lauren Walsh to the Women's Golf Show today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, it's lovely to chat. Where are you today?
So I'm back home in Kildare in Ireland. So home for a little while before I start travelling again for some tournaments.
Putting your feet up, chilling out, or have you actually still been playing golf?
Oh, I've still been playing golf. You know, it's a job now, so I have to get the practice in and the workouts in the gym done. So, but it's been nice to be home and get to spend some time with the family.
Yeah, I bet. We will chat to you in a wee sec. I've got to introduce our second guest, who has just finished tied third at the Ladies Finnish Open. Olivia Mahaffey turned pro in 2021 after a hugely successful amateur career. And she joins us now. Hello to you.
Hi. Thanks for letting me join you, lovely ladies, today.
Oh, it's such a lovely day to have so many girls on here. Where are you today?
I'm back home. So got back from Finland on Sunday and wanted to take a couple of days off, but went to play golf the last 3 days. So haven't got to put the feet up and relax a little bit. So looking forward to a day off tomorrow.
I love that. So we're all at home enjoying ourselves, apart from you, Ali. You're in a porta cabin again.
I'm in a hotel room this time, which I think is an upgrade. It's got a couch, you know, a couple of creature comforts. It's got doors and windows that open. So that's always nice.
I love it. It's so showbiz, the Women's Golf Show. This is the way it kind of works every week. We mentioned, actually, that you had recent success over in Finland there, Olivia. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, it's good. 2021, you know, had my struggles off the golf course and maybe didn't live up to the expectations that a lot of people thought I would after a successful amateur career. And it's nice to sort of be finding my feet the last 3 weeks. I've had three good weeks and feel like my game's trending nicely, and it was nice to put it all together last week. I think that definitely gives me some confidence for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you had a really difficult year last year, let's be honest, and I suppose there is a pressure as well to deliver, but at the same time, if things going on in your life, you can't control that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's very hard, like for me, the timing of everything. You know, I turned pro and I lost my dad right away, and sort of navigating through that. And you know, you're in this new world as well, like you know you're dealing with sponsors and traveling so much and doing your own schedule, and you have to be so independent as a professional golfer. You know, in your amateur days, you're traveling with the team all the time, and you know, you never have to book a flight, you never have to worry about, you know, renting a car and all of these small things. But, you know, you have that going on, and then you're trying to deal with your personal life and sort of the pressures of professional golf, which is tough. It doesn't always go smooth. So it's nice to see the hard work and maybe get back to sort of what people thought I would live up to as a pro, and sort of feel like I'm finding my feet, which is very nice.
And you're doing that. I mean, you've traveled so much this year already. And where have you got? Kenya, South Africa, Sweden, Germany. Where else have I missed?
Yeah.
Czech Republic.
Yeah, we feel like we go everywhere in the Ladies European Tour. It's not just in Europe, but we start out in Kenya. We go everywhere. I remember last year we went on this crazy run where we went Kenya, Africa, Australia, Thailand, then back to Spain. So there's a lot of travel. And you tell your friends at home that you're going to all these countries, and they're like, it must be amazing. And I'm sort of thinking, okay, I went to Australia, I seen the golf course in the hotel, and then I went to Germany and I seen the hotel and the golf course as well. And I'm like, I need to go back on holiday to these countries because I haven't actually seen any of them.
That's where the early practice round on Tuesday comes in handy, isn't it, Olivia? In the fact that you go and, you know, you take that early tea time. Tuesday afternoon for me on tour was always, and I did a lot of it with Beth Allen, one of our other co-hosts, you get to see where you are for about one afternoon a week.
Right. This is a good tip that I need, because at the start of the last 2 years, I'm like, okay, this year is the year. This is the year I'm going to see the country. I promised myself I'm going to go in and see the country. And then, you know, you get so into it and you're like, oh, well, you know, I'm tired and I need to work out, or I might go to physio. And then I'm like, come on, you have to do some things other than golf as well. So it's sort of finding that balance. So I went into Prague, which I wasn't going to do. And then on Saturday night, I was like, you're going into Prague. So I went into Prague, which was beautiful. So I feel like I'm pushing myself to, okay, you got to see the country too, Olivia. You can't just go to all these countries and know nothing about them. So I like your tip there for the Tuesday. That might be my new go-to.
Yeah, you regret it early on the Tuesday, but you're very happy by Tuesday afternoon. You know, you go into catering, load yourself up and go exploring. And it's kind of nice for us to talk to both of you and kind of share, you know, like we've just done, like some of the wisdom that you get from life on tour. You know, Olivia, you a couple of years into your pro career, Lauren, just launching yours. You know, what was it, 2 weeks ago that you announced that you were turning pro? First of all, though, let's wind back to the NCAAs. You clinched the winning point for Wake Forest in a powerhouse team. Like, I was looking at the roster, like, I feel like you almost had an NCAA tournament every single week in qualifying, presumably.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate the last couple of years. We've had quite a deep roster and a deep team. But yeah, what a way to cap off my college career. You know, the goal from the first time we stepped on campus was to win a national championship, and to get it done that last tournament for Wake was pretty special. And they'd never won one in history either. So to be the first, to be part of that first team to do it was really special. And I said, as you mentioned, we've a very competitive team. So, you know, that's been such a good environment to be around the last couple of years. And there's always someone to chip and putt with. So, it's great. We have a great team dynamic. And yeah, to see it pay off was very cool.
It really builds, doesn't it? It's quite hard to explain for people. You know, Olivia, you went to ASU. You're the only other woman from Ireland who's taken an NCAA championship as well. But like, it's quite a... It's such a long season and you've got to qualify to get through. Can you talk to us about the week? Because for me, you know, it was four rounds of stroke play. Now I think, what do you play? Like eight rounds in 6 or 7 days of golf in the lead up to it?
Yeah. So how it works, so it was, you have your practice ride and then four rounds of stroke play. And then from those four rounds of stroke play, the top eight teams qualify for match play. And then you play 36 holes, you know, quarterfinal, semifinal, and then obviously the final, then it's the last day. So it's a lot of golf, and again, the last 3 years it's been in Arizona, and I know Olivia can attest to, like, it's hot in the desert in the end of May, June, and you know, for some of us, it's took a little bit of adapting to get used to those temperatures, but it's a lot of golf in a short space of time and in those temperatures. But yeah, it's a grind of a week, and you know, I a lot of it feels like a blur. You know, we didn't feel the tiredness until we were done the next day and we realized it was all over. But crazy long week, and even the build up to it, you know, you have NCAA regionals, and you know, it looked like with six holes to play at regionals that we might not even get in, and you know, the team pulled through. I think we were four under for our last six holes to get us into nationals, and then to go and then get through the stroke play and the match play and get the job done in the end. It was a crazy journey for the team.
It is a lot of golf, isn't it? I mean, can you just talk me through, when you do a week like that, What are the hours like? I mean, you're starting first thing in the morning and then you're kind of winding down last thing at night. Is it just full on exhausting?
Yeah, and especially at Nationals, there's so many teams. They increased the field this year to 30 teams. So that meant that the tee time started earlier. So our first tee time 2 days in a row was 10 past six in the morning. So our alarms were going off at 3:30 in the morning. And, you know, we were getting to the golf course at, you know, 4:30 for breakfast. And yeah, it was early starts. And then, you know, as the day goes on, like, we were trying to get to bed early, and then you have a 36 hole day, and you know, you're at the golf course for 12 hours.
And I guess sleep must be kind of key as part of your recovery as well.
Yeah, sleep is, it's definitely important. But then again, when the alarm's going off at 4:00 in the morning, it's kind of hard to make sure you get enough sleep. But what helped us was there was a 3 hour time difference between Wake Forest and Arizona. So we almost tried to stay on East Coast time to help us, you know, with the early starts and getting to bed a little bit earlier, which was nice for us. But I don't think, it doesn't matter how much you try and convince yourself, 4:00 alarm is early in the morning. But, you know, you do what you got to do for a week, and it was worth it in the end.
I know. And Olivia, I know that we mentioned there that you also have won the NCAA title. What are your memories of winning that?
Yeah, like for me, it was kind of crazy, completely different to Lauren. I won my first year, and obviously she won in her final year. So I got a taste of it early. And then, you know, for the next, I actually ended up doing 5 years in college because of COVID. So for the next 4 years, we wanted to win it again. But same as Lauren said, like, it was just a crazy week. But I think the hardest thing about NCAAs is the qualification. Like, you know, I think we were, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the country in rankings through the whole sort of season. And, you know, you go to regionals, it's everything in 1 week. You know, if you have one bad week, your team doesn't play in nationals, which is, it's kind of crazy to think about it. You know, if a couple of people got sick or anything, you're not going to be at the NCAA championship, which is, it's really hard to explain to people at home how big a deal nationals is, because obviously they don't, you know, college golf over there is very different to over here, but it's like the biggest thing. Like, you go back to your university and everyone talks about you for a year because it's like the biggest thing winning this tournament. And it was the same as Lauren. I think we had weather delays and serious long days, and by the end of it you're just running on adrenaline, but you are exhausted.
Well, look, you're back into it now as well. Is it exhausting this time around, this year?
Yeah, I think like pro golf's different because, you know, it feels, you know, you could play 6 weeks in a row and you don't get a break and you don't get to prepare for the next week. And I think that's the luxury of amateur golf, is, you know, you play 1 week and you get the next week off, so you can think about what type of course. Am I going to a links course? Am I going to a parkland course? Do I need to hit, you know, are a lot of the par threes long? You can really prepare for the courses. And not professional golf, it's like, okay, got to play 6 weeks in a row, got to keep my card, got to play this. And I think the schedule's a lot heavier, and it's a different kind of pressure because it's your career, you're playing for yourself, for your right to keep your card, to try and win. You've got sponsors, you've got all of these obligations. So I feel like it's a different kind of tiredness. And I think you also have to plan your schedule as well as you can. But then, you know, like for me, I came top 10 in Finland and I'm now into London, and I was sort of thinking I was going to have 2 weeks off. And, you know, I had planned this whole week to go and play golf, to do things, to be with sponsors. And, you know, I've had to move a few things around because I'm preparing for a tournament for next week that I didn't think I was playing. So I think the one thing with professional golf I've learned is, like, you have to be ready for anything. You have to be prepared to play 6 weeks. You have to play maybe an extra week if you need to for your card, or, you know what, you might get into a tournament last minute and you have to fly somewhere and you haven't played a practice round and you don't feel prepared. But I think that's the beauty of professional golf. You just have to be ready to adapt.
Yeah, and roll with. That's the thing. Like, you know, life doesn't wait for anyone. You can't get a fill-in in professional sports, especially, well, not in golf at least. Now, while we've got you both, because there's always stories that you never know when we ask this question, is how you both got into the game. Olivia, do you want to go first? Like, who was your biggest influence? Talk us through maybe your first memory with a golf club, something like that.
Yeah, so I started really young. As the same as most kids, you know, your parents throw you into every sport and you sort of figure out which one you like. I started golf with my dad and my brother, and, you know, I just sort of followed them around. I was 6 years old, and then from a young age I was super competitive with my brother. So this like big thing that I wanted to get my handicap down, I wanted to beat my brother. So that was my, you know, my thing. I would go out on the golf course with the boys and I just wanted to beat him all the time. It was like this absurd like competitiveness with him. And then luckily I was the only girl at my club, but because my brother played, you know, the boys kind of let me come with them. So sort of played with them and got good. And I remember going to Roe County Down every Saturday, and the ladies were like, what's your brother's handicap now? And they wanted to know his, because they were kind of getting into it as well. And I was like, I need to get cut 2 shots today if I want to get lower than him. So for me, it really just started playing with my family and that competitiveness.
I love that. Lauren, how about you?
Yes, I was a little bit later to the game. I played a lot of other sports growing up, played a lot of like Gaelic football, camogie, our national sports in Ireland. So golf came to me a little bit later. And then I guess a little similar to Olivia, my older sister started playing with her friends and I kind of just tagged along, because as I said, I was into sports and like that, I was really competitive in everything I did. So started with her and got bit by the golf bug, as I said, like fell in love with the game and, you know, just wanted to get better, and I improved quickly, and which helped. And like that, I just, again, it was great to have my sister along to kind of practice with and be competitive with. And it was all, you know, who could get lower, who could hit it further, you know, who could chip it closer, and we could all more putts. So just that competitive fire kind of started from there. And yeah, just got into the game and fell in love with it.
I love the fact that both of you basically just wanted to beat your sibling. That's brilliant.
In everything we did. So it was always a competition. So yeah, made things fun growing up.
Can I ask, do you beat your sister now? And likewise, Olivia, do you beat your brother now?
Yeah, we don't even compete anymore. I think he just accepts that. He always just tells everyone, like, oh, I was smart when I went to study law, and she plays golf, basically. So no, he doesn't even try to compete with me anymore. He's just happy because he gets my leftover clubs, whatever I'm done with. He's like, can I have that now? So no competition anymore on that end.
Perfect. There is a perk to having go. Is that the same with you, Lauren?
Yeah, pretty similar. She's actually going to come caddy for me now. So that's kind of exciting. So yeah, she's going to come with me next week. And she's a school teacher, so she's off for the summer. So she'll do a couple summer events and then I'll figure out someone more long term through the winter.
Exploit her while she's not at work. That's it.
Definitely. That's all. I'm all about it.
Olivia, if I just ask, can I just go back to when you said, I mean, obviously we mentioned last year, really, really sorry to hear about your dad. And you said that actually that you were prioritizing your mental health after the death of your dad. And you started up a blog about grief during your break. How much did that help you?
Yeah, you know, it's really like a strange thing for me. So, you know, golf sort of becomes your identity. And then I was deciding to take my identity away from me in a way. And I sort of got to the breaking point and I was like, I need to do that. And I almost like, I had these 6 weeks where I didn't touch a golf club and I just didn't know what to do. And I was sort of thinking, like, do I get a real job? Like, do I need something, right? Like, I just have nothing here. So I sort of was talking to one of my sponsors and he was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, I love to help other people and, you know, I really feel like this could be something good. And he was like, I think you should do it. And I was sort of on the fence of doing it. And then I was like, you know what, Olivia, like you could really make a difference here. And I started to write and I've always loved writing, like even in college. And in it was weird. I had this intention of starting to write to help other people and I was doing it and it was really helping me. I think just getting it out there, like, you know, getting my feelings and emotions out there. And, you know, it's hard to talk to people, but when you're writing it down, it just sort of comes out. And the thing for me, which has been amazing, is I have had so many messages of people like, I went through this, I struggled with this, like your blog, I could really relate to it, like all of those emotions, all of those feelings. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I never felt anything as rewarding as feeling like I was helping other people. But it was weird because it was also helping me. So I think it's definitely something that helped me get over sort of what I was going through.
Oh, I'm glad it helped. It's important to find something, and if it works for you and helps others, well, it can really make a difference without you even realizing how much of a difference it can make as well. Last week, we actually spoke about getting into golf here on the Women's Golf Show from the very earliest moment of first picking up clubs, like we just spoke about, and going to the driving range. And we had a special guest who was former women's amateur champion, Jess Baker. So if you haven't heard that, by the way, and you're listening now, I'd recommend you go back and have a listen to that episode after this one, because Jess was honestly brilliant. Something we're always keen to chat about, and especially this week, is that transition from being an amateur to playing professionally. And it's something, well, you both know a fair amount about this, I guess. And, you know, but having stellar careers as well, what are the highlights when you are an amateur?
The highlights of my amateur career, sort of, you know, representing your country. I think, you know, being a pro now and playing so much by yourself, you can see why everybody just longs to play Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup, because you don't have those moments anymore. And I think, you know, playing on Curtis Cup teams, playing for your country, playing for Arizona State, and, you know, having girls around you and having that support. I mean, the opportunities that, you know, I had in my amateur career, the countries I get to go to, you know, having those teams, they're still to this day my best, my favorite moments. And professional golf is so different. And, you know, I sort of didn't realize when everyone was saying to me, oh, you're going to miss these weeks at European team championships or playing Fagnano trophies or Curtis Cups. I didn't really think, oh, you play so many of them as an amateur, you think, oh no, and you know, I'm sort of past that now, or I'm excited for the next step. But you know, I still was following the Fagliano last week, and you know, I have so many fond memories from those sorts of events. So I think now being a pro and playing so individually, I think those moments as teams and getting to experience it with other people is for sure the highlight for me of my amateur career.
Lauren, how about you? Was it 2 weeks ago? Was it a fortnight ago? Was it Curtis Cups? You've like Olivia, you both have a very long list of team appearances.
Yeah, so I guess for me, like, I'm right in this transition period right now of, I guess I haven't played my first pro event yet. That will happen next week. But I guess looking back on my amateur career, as Olivia mentioned, playing for teams, it's so much fun. I grew up playing other team sports. So, you know, getting a chance to represent your country and travel around the world and see all these amazing places while representing Ireland was so special. And, you know, the two Curtis Cups for me were a real highlight. You know, while we didn't have great success during those weeks, it's the memories you make and the people you meet along the way. You know, all the girls I've played with on Irish teams, on Curtis Cup teams, and my teams in my 4 years at Wake Forest, you know, you end up, they're your best friends, and, you know, getting to travel around and compete alongside them is really cool. And they're definitely the moments that jump out for me as an amateur, and I'll definitely cherish those, like, as I go on now to, you know, play pro golf, which is obviously, as we mentioned, a little bit more individual. But yeah, the team events are just so special, and yeah, those memories will be cherished for a long time.
Can I ask how you know, right? How do you know when it's time to turn pro? Because is there like it's time? Is there like a light bulb moment, or is it just you've done all the amateur stuff and it's time to kind of upgrade? I don't know how it works.
Yeah, I guess for me, I just graduated from college, and it seemed like a fitting time for me to you know, turn pro. I've been building it for a long time. Again, I didn't know going to college whether professional golf was going to be something I'd enjoy or not. And I guess after doing 4 years at Wake Forest, really after my first year at Wake Forest, I knew that golf was going to be something I wanted to do. I got to put a lot more time into it when I went to college, and, you know, being surrounded by a lot of girls who wanted to turn pro, or seeing girls come out of Wake Forest who have just turned pro, that they've kind of gone on a similar path and have had success with it. It really gave me the confidence that it's something that I could do long time and something I could be successful with. So yeah, I guess after I graduated, I figured it was time to go on that pro life. So yeah.
It's time. It was time. Olivia, when you did, was there anything you needed to kind of get in place to make sure, you know, that it was a smooth transition?
Yeah, like, it was weird for me. So I actually went into college with the idea of doing 2 years of college and turning pro. Then I was like, okay, I'm working way too hard on my degree. I'm going to get my degree. And so my third year, I was going to go to, I had just won a lot, and I was doing really well. And I was like, I'm going to go to Q school. And then I fell and broke my hand. And I sort of felt like, oh, it's my time to turn pro. And then that happened. And then the next year, COVID happened. So now it's been 2 years longer, and I've done 5 years in college thinking I was going to do two. So these things never go smoothly. But, you know, in terms of having things lined up, like for me, you know, I sort of had knew what management company I was going to be with. I had sort of sponsors in mind. I had clothing companies in mind, you know, had a schedule and invites sort of lined up. So I tried to sort of have as much planned before I actually turned pro that I knew was going to happen to sort of make that journey seamless. But then, you know, reality hits you when you go to book a rental car and you don't have a credit card in America, and then you're stuck for 2 weeks. I had all these moments. I thought I had everything planned out, and then you have these scenarios. So I don't think you can ever be prepared for it, to be honest.
Yeah, and in the US, you've got to be, you know, you get a different insurance if you're under or over 25. I honestly, you're 24, aren't you, Olivia? I don't know how you're still just 24. I've been covering you for, it feels like a decade now, through the amateur ranks. So you've got the little Benjamin Button thing going on over in golf, but you've obviously experienced it quite a bit. But you mentioned invites as well. And Lauren, you've got an invite coming up to the LPGA. I know that both of you were probably thrilled to see Leona Maguire and Steph Meadow duking it out at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship. Will you lean on them? Will you call them up for practice rounds and stuff like that? Will you grill them for advice?
I don't think they're going to be actually at the LPGA event I'm at. I know it's the same time as the London event for the Aramco Series. So unfortunately that won't line up. But, you know, over the years, they've both been very helpful. And like Olivia as well, you know, it's been great to have, you know, so many girls, or like the three girls, like turn pro. And, you know, if I need advice here or there, and again, going through like a similar kind of college career and then like then making the transition. And as Olivia mentioned, I know the you could try and have everything organized, but I'm quickly learning that like things don't always plan out like that. And kind of you just have to be adaptable and be ready to jump at any opportunity that comes up. So, you know, it's everything I think has been very set in stone for me throughout college. So now that like things, I have to try and like figure things out. And as you said, be adaptable and just, yeah, keep moving forward and day by day. So that's been new for me. But yeah, it's always nice to hear that like other people kind of have similar experiences, and it's not all a smooth journey to the top.
Yeah. Olivia, what was your experience like on that front?
Yeah, like I'm very close to the girls, and Leona has been one of my best friends. We actually played like together foursomes and Baglianos and same Curtis Cup team. So she's been great with me. And just before I turned pro, she's someone I ask a lot. And even still now today, like I talk to her like nearly every week, and she's someone that would sort of bounce ideas off, and I trust her a lot. And it's nice to have someone like that out there, you know, in front of you, and sort of someone that you know has been there, has done the things you want to do. So she's definitely someone to lean on for a lot of advice, which is really nice.
Lauren, did you see what her quote was about, you know, the advice? I'm guessing she gave it to you directly as well, but she said when you turn pro, Paul McGinley told her not to fiddle with her golf clubs too much. Don't get drawn into kind of changing manufacturers. If you can try and stick with it, that's one less thing in a year that's full of a lot of new things to kind of take on. Pretty cool to have her insights.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess she plays ping as well. So like I've, you know, played ping my entire amateur career, and, you know, I'll be sticking with them for now. And yeah, again, kind of a lot of what her advice was around, you know, like keep doing what I'm doing. Like I've had this team around me for really, I've been working with my coach Shane for the last like 9 years. So yeah, and my family and kind of that just entire team I have around me, I'll like continue to work with those. And, you know, keeping things simple, I think is going to be key for me moving forward. Cause when you add in all the other stuff, all the other organizing that comes along with it, it's, I guess, a little easy to get distracted from the golf. But if I can kind of keep that same kind of training ideas and team that I've been working on and the stuff I've been working with, I can keep going with that. I hope that that can lead me to some good tournaments.
It's huge though, isn't it? Like A, keep your team, B, don't over practice. That's the big that I learned when I was playing on tour, because when you know you're grinding and you're trying to find something, it's so easy to go and spend hours and hours on the range. Try and stick to the thing that got you there in the first place and trust your talent. No doubt watching Rose Zhang get her first win, that's kind of a nice little confirmation for people coming out of college.
Yeah, definitely. I played the final two rounds of the NCAA championship with Rose, so you know, playing alongside her and then like watching her win on the LPGA tour the week after was pretty cool. And you know, I've got to know her the last two Curtis Cups I've played. She was on the opposing teams, and you know, it's nice to see she's just as good as a girl as she is a golfer. And yeah, it's nice to see her have success so early on her career. But yeah, as you said, it gives us college players, you know, she has an unbelievable resume going out there, but you know, it's nice for us college players to see, you know, what can be done out on tour once we get out there.
See, maybe she sees you come. She's like, oh no, it's Lauren. This is it. The threat is here. That's what you have to think.
Yeah, you never know, Wilson. I guess I'll see you next week.
Listen, are you two up for a bit of a challenge? Because we have a very exciting, it's the game that everyone wants to play. And it's actually, as it happens, it's on the Women's Golf Show, and it's called Par 3, Par 4, Par 5. And I would love it if you were both up for playing. I'll take that silence as a yes. Okay.
I think we're both nervous.
Okay, well, so this is it. This is the Women Golf Show's unique guessing game. I mean, I don't know what you've heard, but honestly, it's a very simple quiz. It's very straightforward. I give you a clue. You just need to tell me the golfer that the clue is describing. But the thing is, the clues are called par 3, par 4, or par 5. And basically, if you go par 3, you get a three-word clue. If you go par 4, you get a four-word clue. If you go par 5, you get a five-word clue. And par 3 is the hardest, so you get the most points. Par 5's the easiest, so you get the least points. Simple, you see? Really straightforward so far. And before you guess, you choose the difficulty level that you would like. And for every question you get wrong, well, then your opponent can steal. Okay, so that's it. I think that's it in a nutshell, isn't it, Ali? It's easy, isn't it?
You have nailed it. And that's it's very it. Nice Ali to sit back it. And watch. Yeah.
Okay, so listen, this week, all the answers are players who have won the US Women's Open, which is obviously taking place this week at Pebble Beach. So, Lauren, we have randomly selected you to go first. So, would you like par 3, par 4, or par 5? Good luck.
I'll start off with par 4.
Okay, that's it. That's very, very popular first decision. Okay, here we go. From Hawaii to California.
Michelle Wee? She come from Hawaii?
That's correct! Well done!
Oh, nice!
That's it. You did indeed. 2014 champion at Pinehurst. She was born and grew up in Hawaii and now lives in San Francisco in California. You see? Straightforward. That is it. Well done.
There we go.
Smashed it. Okay, Olivia, we're over to you now. Are you ready? Par 3, par 4, or par 5?
Par 4 as well.
Okay. Number one in 2010.
I feel like that's Lydia Ko, but I don't know if she's won a US Open.
I'm going to have to push you for an answer.
I'm going to say Lydia Ko, but I know it's wrong.
Okay, unfortunately, it is indeed wrong. So I can go back to Lauren now and say, Lauren, would you like a par 3 or a par 5 clue?
Par 5 clue.
Also 2010 Women's PGA Champion.
I didn't even play golf in 2010. I don't know if I can remember.
Shush you.
I have no idea.
Okay, shall I give you the answer for this one? It is Christy Kerr, who was the 2007 champion at Pine Needles. And so she was number one in the Women's World Golf Rankings on three separate occasions in 2010, and then won her second major when she won the Women's PGA Championship in 2010 by 12 strokes.
Wow. Lydia Ko was not close then.
Was it quite that one? Okay, well, we'll go on to the next round. Here we go. So, Lauren, we're back to you then. So far, Lauren, 2 points. Olivia, nil point. Okay, we'll go back to Lauren. Par 3, par 4, par 5.
We'll go par 4 again.
Okay. Australian pro since 1994.
Hey, who didn't throw from Australia?
We've had some good ones over the years.
Says, I know says the Australian pipes up in the corner there.
I can see that.
Can I push you for an answer? No, I'm going to have to hand it over.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to offer
it. Olivia.
Okay, Olivia, do you want a par 3 or a par 5?
Par 3.
7 major wins.
Carrie Webb.
Correct indeed, you're absolutely right. Carrie Webb was a 2-time champion in 2000 and 2001. She was born in Queensland and she turned pro in 94 and she got 7 major wins to date. So yeah, it's definitely Carrie Webb. So I think, this is good. Well done on getting some points. Olivia, we're over to you now. This is it. Par 3, par 4 or par 5?
Par 4.
3 consecutive PGA wins.
Oh, right. Annika or Sari Pak, maybe. Sari Pak? No?
I'm going to have to pass it over to Lauren. Lauren, par 3 or par 5?
Par 3.
Retired in 2008.
I think Olivia might have been Annika.
Yes, you did. It's right. Annika Sørenstam.
I have to give a thank you to Olivia for that one.
You're welcome. I was between the two.
I couldn't believe you didn't choose it. She was obviously 2-time champ, 95 and 96. She won the Women's PGA Championship between 2003 to 2005, and she did step away in 2008. Okay, the score then at the end of that grilling was Olivia 3 points. But Lauren 5, well done, Lauren. You have won, as you can see, the toughest quiz in golf. Par 3, par 4, par 5.
I have to give credit to Olivia. I feel like we should have both got a point for that last one.
Look, it's been so lovely to have you both on the show. Thank you very much. And where are you off to next, Olivia? Where do you head to?
I'm going to London next week for their Ramco Team Series, Centurion.
I'm an amateur in it.
Oh, no way. Hopefully we're on the same team.
Oh, that would be... Oh, you might regret saying that. If I do get with you, you might be like, why are you on our team? I'm proper, proper amateur. But yeah, no, I'll look out for you next week then.
Absolutely.
I look forward to it. And Lauren, how about you?
So I'm playing the Dana Open on the LPGA Tour next week.
Okay, well, good luck. Good luck to you both. It's been lovely, lovely having you both here. It's been lovely, hasn't it, Ali?
Yeah, it's brilliant. And best of luck. You know, Olivia, I feel like you're just finding your stride in pro golf. So keep that going. And, you know, the last 3 weeks on tour have been brilliant from you. And Lauren, good luck with the transition. Don't be scared to ask a lot of questions and try to change as little as possible. That's the two takeaways that I grilled Kari Webb when I turned pro. And she was a wealth of knowledge. And you'll find your mentors out there to listen to.
Thank you. Sound advice.
Thank you.
Ali, what about you? What's in your busy schedule the next week?
Denmark this week, Scottish Open the next week, the Open the week after that, Evian, and then the Women's Opens the next little while. So we've got quite the little run going, which is brilliant. They're longer days here than they are back in Australia at the moment, and I'm living the dream. It's dark at 11 p.m. here in Denmark, so I've got to shut the curtains soon.
Okay, so just another quiet week in the life of Ali. There we go then. Remember as well that you can get in touch with the show as well by tweeting using the hashtag TWGS, because if you're out for a round, we'd like to also see your pictures. You can share your photos using the same hashtag on Twitter or Instagram. So Ali, we will catch up very, very soon.
I can't wait. We still need to clink glasses at some stage, Jenny.
I know.
I'm hoping that'll happen this summer as well. That would be the real highlight. Like, the golf's good, but that would be the real highlight.
I would love that to happen. So we need to make that absolutely happen. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday, the 19th of July, to chat again about all things women's golf. And we really look forward to speaking to you then. Have a great week in the meantime, and we'll see you soon.